We remind you that in addition to the names that are on our prayer list, we've added Don and Joy Vasco and Charles Wilson. Be in prayer for them as they have medical needs, urgent medical needs. So take them before the Lord and beseech His mercy and His grace. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Of course, you know, if you've been here, you know the setting. If you're familiar with Ephesians at all, you know the setting. Chapter 4, we began to deal with the walk of a child of God who is a church member. He's speaking to the local Ephesian assembly and has been speaking to us, the local Melbourne assembly, Grace Baptist Church, in concerning our walk, and continues that in Chapter 5. We want to read this afternoon verses 1 through 7, and then we'll be bringing some thought from verse 7. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Mm-hmm. I emphasize, and I think in many ways the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul emphasized verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. What kind of love did he have for us? Well, it goes on to say it was a sacrificial love. Yes. He gave himself for us. But you see, our walk is to be as dear children, as imitators of God, walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, boy, that word there got all of us. Got all of us. Let it not be once named among you as become a saint. And ought to be named amongst us. Not any of us ought to be said that we are fornicators, walking in uncleanness and covetousness. Neither filthiness. These, remember, had to do with our speech, our language. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. That is, they're not becoming, they're not suitable as one who has arrived as a child of God, who's been born again, who Christ died for, that is to be an imitator of God. but rather giving of thanks. Giving of thanks that we have been delivered from that life.
Amen.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so what he's saying there is when we walk as a fornicator in uncleanness and in covetousness, what are we manifesting? We're manifesting the life of those that have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Do we have an inheritance in the kingdom of God? Let no man deceive you with vain words. Words that aren't true. Words that don't agree with the doctrine of Christ. We're talking about our walk now. We're talking about our speech, our manner of life. Yes, there were in their days, as there are in our days, saying, well, we're under grace. We've been saved. The law has no more effect over us. So, your sins have, it doesn't matter. Not so. You see, as such are the antinomians. The law of God's not in effect. When you take away the law of God, when you take away our conscious guilt of sin, you see. So don't be deceived by those people who tell you those things. For because of these things that have been mentioned, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You see, those who do such things, those who walk in unbridled lust and doing the desires and passions of the flesh, they're children of disobedience. And the wrath of God is abiding on them. If you remember, we looked at one that was real close in this study, in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, verses 2 and 3, which described you and I before the grace of God came to us. In verse 4 says, but God, working of God, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. By grace, ye are saved. Praise God. Well, and what he's saying here in this fifth chapter, we ain't ought to be walking as the children of disobedience, as we once were. We ought to be walking differently. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. But fornicators, all uncleanness, or covetousness, foolishness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, ought to have no part. That ought to have no part in the life of a child of God. That is our second main point. And in this passage of Scripture is don't partake with evildoers. Don't partake with evildoers. And go on down through the next several verses dealing with that subject. We are beloved children. We're dear children. Meaning we are beloved children of God. We're no longer the children of wrath. And as children of God, we ought to be imitators of God. Our desire ought to be to act like Christ. Be like Christ. Be like God. Be holy as He is holy.
Amen.
You know, for a long time, probably in every age, you start preaching on holiness and you can just see the people in the pews start to cringe up and draw up. They don't like you preaching on holiness. Well, we ought to love to have holiness preached to us. If we're born again, if we're a child of God, that which within us desires us to be holy. It ought to be the striving of everyone who's a child of God. We have an inheritance which is in Christ Jesus. And it's of God. It's of God. It's of God's giving. Therefore, we're not to be... our verse says fellowship. We're not to be a joint partaker in their sin and disobedience. Not necessarily in this verse is he saying that we ought not to run alongside them in their evil deeds and works. However, that is included. But whether we walk alongside of them or run alongside of them, we ought not to be doing the same things which they do. You see, when a child of God, who's to be an imitator of God, to show that, yes, there is some semblance of my being a child of God, when we do the evil which they do, what's that do? What's that do to your good works? When you die, Brother Ron, and they lay your body at rest in the grave, do you want the men of this world, the only thing they can remember about Ron McTaggart is the evil which you did? That's what happens. It destroys. It destroys our good works. It destroys our testimony. They're not going to remember the good which we did. They'll remember the evil which we did. Well, you know, Ron McTaggart, he was a good Christian fellow, you know. Down there to the jail every week, and he had taught a Bible class down there and everything. But you know, he was just like me. Is that what we want them to remember about us? Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15.
Verse 33 starts out with, "Be not deceived. Evil communications." That is associations with the wicked. That is partaking in their evil, in the wickedness which they do. But your associations with those who are evil and those who are wicked, what's it do? It corrupts, it destroys good manners. Why is that so hard for us to learn? Why is that so hard for us to understand? You see, in every one of us, there's a desire in every one of us to want people to like us. And not to dislike us. We don't like to be made fun of. And if we start hanging with those who work wickedness, those who work evil, and we try taking a stand against it, telling them, "That's wrong, that's not right, what's going to happen?" They're going to laugh at us. They're going to mock us. Yeah. So what do? We join in.
Evil associations destroy good manners. When we do evil, it destroys the good which we've sought to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 13. And look with me here in verse 20. "Oh, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise." Well, if ever a man should know that, it was the writer of the Proverbs, Solomon. Mm-hmm. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And oh, if ever there was a man that knew that, was it not Solomon? Yes. "700 wives and 300 concubines of all nations." Of the nations that God told him, "Don't you have anything to do with them. Don't you be united with them. Don't you marry their daughters. For they shall turn your heart away from God." And they did. We've been studying Solomon in Sunday school, and boy, Solomon started out good, didn't he? The latter end of his life, his wives turned his heart away from God, and one perfect with the Lord is God. And he worshipped other gods. Solomon worshipped other gods. "And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." However, in the days of Solomon, for the sake of David, his father, the Lord didn't rend the kingdom from his hand, but upon his death, the kingdom was rent from his son, and the kingdom was split. 10 northern tribes went with Jeroboam, and Judah went with Rehoboam. You see? Turn with me to the book of 2 John. 2 John. And turn to the second chapter, right? I just wanted to see if you were awake. No, 2 John has only one chapter, as does 3 John only have one chapter. But here in the book of 2 John, look at verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Well, we have those today. I mean, they were in the days of John, and they continue in our day. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, in the teachings of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Abideth, as I like to point out, the ETH on the end notes what? Ever present. In other words, today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, until he goes to the grave. Continues abiding in the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ. And he has both the Father and the Son. Well, we could go off on that. Jesus taught that in his ministry. Towards the end of his ministry, when he told his church that he had must go away, but he would send them a comfort. But before that, he sent them the comfort. He told of he that believeth in the Father believeth in the Son. He that believeth in the Son believeth in the Father. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, God bless you, is partaker of his evil deeds, of the untruth in which he's propagating. Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, knocks on my door, I won't even let him give his spiel. If he wants to come in and sit down and listen to me, he's welcome to come in and sit down and listen to me. If he don't want to do that, then he can be on his way.
That's the only thing we want to do is seek to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we associate with and partake with evil, wicked men in their evil, wicked deeds, do you think we're imitating God, who's holy? Is that living a life of holy? Let me ask you this. Is that living a life of faith? See, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and every evil work. We are to be imitating God. We're not to be, and we are to be walking in love as Christ loved us. That is agape love, which is not common to man, not normal to man. It is divine love. It's only the love which God gives to those that are His. We are, as true children of God, we are partakers of the divine. We're not to be partakers of evil. We are partakers of the divine. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ, does it constrain you? Does it uphold you? Does it bound you to anything? Bind you to anything? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. All without Christ are dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You see, we're not to be living to ourselves if He died for us. Did He die for you? If He died for you, then you're not to be living to yourselves. That is, fulfilling the desires and passions of yourself, of your flesh. But what?
Unto Him. We're to be living unto Him, which died for us and rose again. And why did He rise again?
For our justification. That is, He completed the work that was necessary for my redemption. So that upon faith in Him, I can stand before the Father just as if I never sinned.
Amen.
Those sins are gone.
Amen.
Wiped out. Every one of them. From the time of infancy to the time of my death. Every one of them wiped out. Praise God.
We're to live that way. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Maybe this one will strike us a little nearer to where we live. Verse 21.
1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord.
What's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord's remembrance feast.
Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You might go through the motions of participating in the Lord's table and drinking the cup of the Lord. You might go through those motions. But if you're partaking of the cup of the devil and of the devil's table, you're not partaking of the Lord's table.
Amen.
That's what he said there.
That's pretty serious. Pretty serious thought, isn't it?
You see, when we live a life walking in evil, and the evil is described in chapter 5 of Ephesians, and even the evils which were described in chapter 4, before we got to chapter 5, when we're living a life that way, we're not manifesting that we're a fit participant for the Lord's table.
You see. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I like verse 6. You should too. Paul tells the Philippians here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. We love that.
If the Holy Spirit of God has come to a man and truly awakened him in his sin and his need of Jesus Christ, we know that the Lord that is going to continue on until the day of his, till the coming of the Lord, till the day of his death, till he goes to be with the Lord. So you and I that are sitting here today that are saved, truly saved, the work of the Lord continues in us. That's why we can sing the song, He's still working on me. I'm not what I once was, but I'm not yet what I hope to be. See, he's still working on me.
Praise God.
But look at verse 7. Keeping verse 6 in thought and in mind. Even as it is meet, even as it is righteous,
that's what the Greek word there means,
righteous, just, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Paul said, if the grace of God has come to you, he has begun a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that's made a reality. as being recipients of grace, as being recipients of the working power of God in our lives and the Holy Spirit indwelling us and leading us and guiding us and directing us. And the Holy Spirit is God. Holy God. And will not lead us to do evil and to do wickedness.
You see, we're partakers of the divine. We need to get serious about this. We need to quit playing church.
Amen.
Quit playing religion, whatever you want to call it. Look what he told the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Those that are in Christ will hold fast until the end. And they'll be confident of that very thing. It won't matter what comes upon them. It won't matter what persecution comes upon them. They will be steadfast until the end. The Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter said this in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4, whereby, well, I just got to go back to verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Have you obtained the like precious faith that Peter had? Caused him to endure to the end. Caused him to be steadfast to the end. He suffered a martyr's death for Christ. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You see, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. He's left us His Word, too. He's given us His Holy Spirit, left us His Word. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We don't have to live according to the desires and passions of the flesh. We don't have to.